experiencing and enjoying Christ. You know, in a sense, saints, I hate the word meeting. Give me a little liberty here. But except for meeting the Lord in the air, I'm not sure meeting is in the New Testament. It talks about the saints gathering whenever you come together. But to say meeting, I don't know, this is just my thought. A meeting has a connotation that it has a beginning and an end. Right? The meeting starts at. The meeting will end at. Even in the announcements, it said the meeting tomorrow is at. We shouldn't have that kind of connotation. Amen. Our connotation is we're enjoying Christ. Amen. We come together to enjoy Christ at. Amen. We leave enjoying Christ. We don't stop enjoying Christ. Amen. We didn't start enjoying Christ when we got together. We don't stop enjoying Christ when we leave. Amen. So we just gather doing what we've always done during our daily life. Amen. This is the church life. So you like to come together. The more you enjoy Christ, the more you want to come together. You're eager to come together. You know, I listened to the brothers share, and I've listened to particularly Minoru and particularly James, and to some extent they talk about Eldon Hall and how things were, how you came together. You know, in Eldon, I was never in Eldon. I was in Hall 6 right after they split out of Eldon. But there, you came together, you were at least 30 minutes early for the meeting. When we moved to Huntington Beach, we were meeting in schools and women's club. And if you didn't get to the prayer meeting 30 minutes before the prayer meeting started, because they didn't open the doors, and the meeting started outside the school before the doors opened, there was no way you were going to have a seat on the first three rows. There was 350 in the church in Huntington Beach when I was there. So if you wanted to sit on one of the first three rows, you better be there 30 minutes before the time to start. You know, I'm not looking to go back. I think the Lord wants to go forward. I think he wants much more than this. He doesn't want us just to enjoy our coming together. He wants us to enjoy him and experience him in our daily life. Amen. So that when we come together, it's real. It's not something we just started. Amen. That's the reason I don't like this term, turn to your spirit. Because sometimes I think we didn't turn to our spirit until we got to the meeting. Then we decided to turn and join the other saints. But praise the Lord. It is an experience of all the saints in experiencing the Lord, enjoying the Lord in their daily life. Then corporately we come together. This is the church life. And this is the expression. And we don't care. You know, we don't care what song is sung first. We don't care who prays first. I'm not saying we do things without order. I don't mean that. But anyway, we're not in that realm. We're in the realm of enjoying Christ. Amen. Whatever comes out of that, we saw this morning, as long as it's in that realm of romance, it's right. Amen. Anything outside of that realm is wrong, irregardless of whether it's right. So praise the Lord. We need to be those who are living this way. Well, to bring us into living this way, we have to be those who are willing to go through a process. Because we have the natural man, and the natural man just likes the natural man, we have to go through this process of death and resurrection. This process here, like I said, is Christ's resurrection. It's not something separate than Christ, and it is altogether related to the Spirit. You know, I don't know how much time I spent going through the books and this, and the more I got into this, there's a part of me that just wants to go back to the beginning. You know, some of the little songs that we used to sing, like breathing in the Lord is how we live today. Not by thinking do we live, but breathing is the way. We just call, O Lord, from very deep within. As now we're breathing in of Him. Breathe in Christ. Breathe in life. Anyway, some of these you can't even find anymore in the hymnal. But I just enjoy going around the house a little bit singing, now Christ is the life-giving Spirit. Now Christ is the Spirit today. Now Christ is the life-giving Spirit. So turn to your Spirit and say, oh Lord, amen. Oh Lord, amen. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, amen. Oh Lord, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. In a sense, saints, we need to come back to this kind of simplicity where we're not thinking so much about so many things. So many things come up in our daily life. And we need to be those who are willing to just take the Lord in the things. Amen. Almost come to the outline. But anyway. But eventually the power of Christ's resurrection is only manifested when we are willing to deny ourselves and take the Lord as the Spirit. Amen. If we don't do this in our daily life, Christ is still objective. He will never be anything but an objective Christ to you. The only way that Christ can be real and experiential to us is if we turn to our Spirit. And I mean that in a real way, not in something that's... I get myself caught, right? We do it moment by moment. Constantly. We're not doing it, it's constant. It's not, I found myself 2 days away from the Spirit, so, I better turn back to the Spirit. Not that. It's a constant turning to the Lord. Constant taking the Lord as our life and as our supply. And this way, we can be brought into resurrection. Because I'm already on B of this. Because Christ's resurrection is only in the Spirit. If we don't have the Spirit, then everything else, it is nothing. It doesn't mean a thing. So how do you define it? You know, if you're enjoying the Spirit, you're in resurrection. It's mysterious. You can't put a label on it. You can't define it in any kind of a way. It's absolutely mysterious. It's somewhat undefinable. But praise the Lord, it's real. And when we touch the Lord in this kind of a way, we experience it. So, you know, one of the best illustrations that Brother Lee has used, and I like it too, is the matter of a carnation seed. Christ came into us as the seed of life. This is like a carnation seed, which is such a small seed, it's planted into the ground. And in this sense, Christ planted himself into the ground of human beings. And this carnation seed, as it grows, it's not obvious what it is. You may not even know what the seed is. You just planted it. And as you watch it grow, and it grows, and it matures, and eventually a blossom comes out. And you're not sure what it is until the blossom comes out. So this is the manifestation of that seed, is the blossom. The process is the growing. And this is what we're in today. In that seed was all the power to form that manifestation. It was the power to bring it up out of the ground, to break through all of the environment that's in the air. And sometimes it's a hostile environment with the wind, the rain, the hail, whatever else goes on, the birds, the squirrels. Yeah, locusts. But eventually the power that's in that seed is able to bring it all the way to its manifestation of a beautiful bloom. Well, Christ is in us in the same kind of way. He is the seed of life as resurrection in our being. We have to be those who are willing to cooperate with him and give the right environment for him to continue to grow and manifest himself till eventually one day we get to the last stage, which is the culmination of the manifestation of the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. At that time when we see him, we will be like him. Amen. That's wonderful, but you've still got to go through this process. You don't jump from a seed to a manifestation overnight. We're not mushrooms. So we have to go through this process. And because this is the highest life in the universe, it takes a long time to happen. Every life of a higher kind always takes longer. The lower the life, the less time it takes. But the higher the life, the longer time it takes for it to grow. But praise the Lord, we're in this process. Amen. Romans calls this process sanctification. And we never graduate from it until the Lord comes back. Here in Philippians, called the power of his resurrection, conformity, or sufferings of his, sorry, the fellowship of his sufferings, and conformity to his death. So whether you label it this or whether you label it sanctification, it's the same thing. It's what we are going through in this age and what we go through day by day in our Christian life. So praise the Lord that this is where we are. And in C, it says the Spirit compounded with the Christ Spirit, or Christ's resurrection, and its power indwells our spirit to dispense Christ's resurrection and its power not only to our spirit and soul, but also to our mortal body. You know, here in these verses in Exodus, those we all know, or if you don't know, go to the footnotes in the recovery version and read through this compound ointment and see what was put into this ointment, which is just the compound. The ointment typifies the life-giving spirit, the spirit of Christ, the spirit of Jesus Christ. And what goes into it, of course, is his human living, his death, his resurrection. All the things that he went through are in this compound ointment. All the things are in this life-giving spirit. Praise the Lord, this spirit is in us. We have all that we need. That song says, brothers, we have all we need. Anyway, sorry. So we should cooperate with the resurrecting spirit to recognize that we have been resurrected with Christ and to pursue the power of the resurrection of Christ. You know, so many Christians today, because they don't know the Spirit, and this is sad. You know, there's a man down the street from me on the same cul-de-sac who one of the brothers, who's a physical therapist, goes and sees because he's in his 80s to help him. And he was a pastor his whole life. He was a minister of 7 different churches throughout his life. He was talking to him the other day, and in his talk with him, he got to sharing with him a little bit about the matter of man having a spirit and using the verses, you know, in 1 Thessalonians and in Romans, and showing that Christ in 1 Corinthians 45b, became the life-giving spirit. And this man, who had been a pastor of a fundamental denominational church all his life, had no idea that man had a spirit. He had never heard this in his life. He was sharing with him the three circles and what man, how man was built as a body, soul, spirit. And I thought, what, you know, how many people are going through, and even Christians are going through, this kind of living today? They don't know they have a spirit. And without the spirit, you cannot know Christ. There is no way to know Christ without the spirit. Spirit brings us into the reality of everything that Christ is. So, you know, not only do them, but in a sense, I've got to ask my question to myself, do I know the Spirit or know about the Spirit? Do I exercise the Spirit? Do I use my Spirit during my day in all the situations I find myself in? To look at the Lord. The Lord's face is in my spirit. The index of his eyes is in my spirit. You know, when you start to go do something, do you stop long enough to look at him in your spirit? You know, Marcia and I have been married 55 years, and I know as soon as I look at her what she thinks about something. We're talking about something. We can be in a whole room of people, and something said, or even she's ready to leave. I can look at her and I know. Don't you believe you can know what the Lord thinks? If you spend any time with the Lord, you can know what the Lord thinks by just looking at the index of his eyes. And in your spirit, you have the index of his eyes. His face is in your spirit. Actually, if you read those verses, I think it's in 2 Corinthians 5, this, the index of his eyes, his face, is actually the treasure that's in your earthen vessels. The thing that's the treasure in your earthen vessels is his face, the index of his eyes. They need to treasure that. That's what's in us. That's what keeps us loving him and caring for him, is being able to look at him and see, Lord, how do you feel about this? I'm starting to go here. What do you feel about that? Lord, I'm starting to buy this. What do you feel about my purchase of this? I'm getting really upset with this driver that's in front of me. What do you think about that? It's in our spirit. So we need to stop long enough and ask the Lord and look at the Lord. Lord, what do you think? What's your feeling about this? He very seldom will audibly, maybe he does audibly say something, but inwardly you know. Inwardly you know. So on one, under D, it is the power of Christ's resurrection that we, the lovers of Christ, determine to take the cross by denying the self. If you don't love him, you will never look at his eyes. The reason I look at my wife's eyes is because I love her. I care how she feels. So we look at each other a lot. If we love the Lord, we will look at his eyes because we care about him. We're the lovers of Christ. And we will find ourselves doing his will and not our will. So it's by the power of resurrection, too, that we, the lovers of Christ, are enabled to be conformed to the death, to his death, to be one with his cross. In this verse portion, Song of Songs is mentioned about the little foxes that spoil the vine. And in a sense, the vine is the church life. The vine is all the branches that are growing together. And the little foxes, they want to spoil the vine. They want to spoil what's being produced in this vineyard. Well, the foxes here are hidden things. You know, foxes are always sly. They're not outward. They're not so fast. We used to have a fox on the property at Building 8 when we were out there. Boy, you were really good if you ever got a glimpse of him. But the little foxes want to spoil what's going on. But these foxes are our individual peculiarities, habits, introspection, disposition. So if you want to spoil the church life, just stay in your habits. Just stay in your disposition. Just stay in your all these peculiarities that we have. This will absolutely spoil the vine wherever we're at and whatever church we're in. So the Lord, in the verse right before this, it says, "My dove, in the cleft of the rocks, in the covert of the precipice, let me see your countenance." Here he wants her to stay in the cross, right? Stay in the death of Christ. He's the cleft rock. So she should stay there. But the warning is, if you get out, the foxes are there. They're going to spoil the church life through you and through your peculiarities, your habits, your introspection, your disposition. So saints, we need to be saved in the church where we are from what we are. We need to be saved by staying in the cleft of the rock with our Christ. Staying on the cross with him. Then three, it says, in order to experience the life-giving Spirit as the reality of the flourishing riches of the resurrection of Christ, we have to discern our spirit from our soul. This is why we need to be in the Word, right? It's the Word of God that's sharp and able to divide the soul from the spirit. We need to be those who are in the Word, pray reading the Word, and allowing that sword of the Spirit cut through and divide what is our soul and what's from in our spirit. So if we want to stay in the flourishing life and in the flourishing church life, we need to allow the Word to operate in our being, cutting through things that we don't know. I mean, a surgeon delicately, I'm not a surgeon, but Rick can tell you, they delicately cut through, not damaging the good part to cut out the bad part. And it's a delicate, surgical, and this is what the Word of God is. It's the scalpel that's able to cut between our spirit and our soul so that we can begin to determine what is our soul, what is our spirit. And then we can learn, that's my soul. I need to get out of there. So anyway, this needs to be a part of our daily life. Be in the Word. Be in the morning revival to pray, read the Word. Take the Word in. Even as we're reading verses, we shouldn't just read them. We should prayerfully read them so that they become a part of our being, so that the operating Word is there operating, doing this dividing work in us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, we have the tools. The ministry does some of this too, because it opens the Word and you see things in it that you've never seen before. It explains the Word, so we see something we've never seen in ourselves. Roman numeral 2, Paul aspired to know the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. With Christ, the sufferings and death came first, followed by the resurrection. But with us, the power of his resurrection comes first, followed by the participation in his sufferings and conformity to his death. So we first receive the power of his resurrection, then by the resurrection we're enabled to participate in his sufferings and live a crucified life in conformity to his death. I hope I've got this right. someone can correct me if I don't by the time I get, when I get through, or tomorrow morning. But, you know, I really struggled with this to begin with. You know, it's easy to see that Christ's sufferings came first. Christ's suffering and then the death. And then this was followed by resurrection. But, and this was the power. But with us, the power comes. If you don't see that the resurrection, then you struggle with it. But because we receive Christ as the Spirit, we get the power of his resurrection because we have the Spirit. So the power is comes first with us because we receive the Lord. And the Lord is resurrection. And the Lord is the Spirit, so we already have the power of his resurrection. It's in our being. So the next thing that happens is that, let me back up. Let me go through what Philippians does. Philippians presents knowing Christ first, right? Know him. And then after knowing Christ, we know the power of Christ's resurrection. And then it says knowing the fellowship of his sufferings, and then being conformed to his death. But in our experience,